Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we're in the Easter season and we get to say things like, Christ is risen. And truly, we focus a lot about our future and our hope and the fact that we know that when we die, we go to heaven. And what a brilliant and beautiful thing it really is, right? And we spend a lot of time during Easter focusing on that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing because we know when we die, we're going to heaven. And when we die, we're going to heaven and Jesus is preparing a mansion for us there. But then my mind, and maybe yours sometimes, starts to wonder, well, if Jesus is so busy doing that, building my mansion is going to be made of chocolate and you can eat it every day and it'll regenerate, kind of thing, you know, that's really awesome. I don't care what your mansion is, but my mansion is chocolate. You can come over and help me eat it if you want to. But anyways, if he's so busy building our chocolate mansions or our brewery mansions or whatever we are going to have in heaven, if he's so busy doing that, what about right now? What is Jesus doing for me right now? How does the resurrection apply to me right now as I live my daily life? I've asked that question. I pondered that. I think every theologian has. What's he going to do for me right now? How does this risen Jesus do both things? Because, well, after all, he is God. He can do both things. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, because we are sheep, he is our good shepherd. And that's why in wise minds, hundreds of years ago, when they were putting together the liturgical calendar, they made the fourth Sunday of Easter Good Shepherd Sunday, a Sunday to focus on what Jesus does for us even now as the good shepherd. Because when he rose from the dead, he took claim of his sheep and he said, I am the good shepherd and they will hear my voice and they will follow me and I will take care of them. So today we're going to look at that a little bit. A side note, let me tell you how important the 23rd Psalm is. One of the great things about, well, there's many great things about being a pastor. So one of the great things about being a pastor is getting to visit shut-ins. I love doing that. And sometimes you visit shut-ins who have Alzheimer's disease or dementia, and they're in advanced stages, and they don't know really what's going on around them. And I have brother pastors, and we had a professor at the seminary that said you don't commune them because if they don't understand, they can't take communion. And I think that's ridiculous. Let me tell you why. Because when you go in and you hold their hand and you start reciting the 23rd Psalm, guess what happens? They repeat it with you, or they mouth it with you, or the Lord's Prayer, or the Apostles' Creed. These things are important. And especially the 23rd Psalm, because it shows exactly that the Holy Spirit is still working on them. And they know that even though their body and their mind may be going away, Jesus is still the Good Shepherd who takes care of them and lays down his life for them. So indeed, today we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday. So let me ask you a question. Just before we begin here, throw out some ideas. What, in your opinion, what does a shepherd do? What's the job of a shepherd? What does he do? Protect the sheep. What else does he do? Grow the flock. What else does he do? He feeds them. He what? He leads them. Yes. I said you said feeds them, but he said feeds them too. Yes. So these are all good concepts. So let's look at this and translate this into Jesus being our good shepherd and what it means for us today. The job of the shepherd is to care for the sheep by chasing away fear. That's interesting, isn't it? The job of the shepherd is to care for the sheep by chasing away fear. Listen to these verses from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now stop and listen to that for a second. Think about that. I shall not want. What does that mean? That Jesus, the good shepherd, provides for everything that we need, body, soul, mind, spirit. We say that and we believe that in when we say the Apostles' Creed, when we talk about the explanation of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that God has provided for me everything I need to support this body and this life. And furthermore, the song goes on to say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Can there be fear in that type of environment? Think about that for a second. That's a pretty peaceful place, isn't it? Have any of you been to maybe a mountain stream or brook and just sat there and listened and the water bubbling? And have any of you been in an environment like that? Anybody? Good, yes. And you have wine and cheese there, you know, and everything's, wait, that part's not in the Bible. But you can have wine and cheese there, right? And it's very peaceful. And there's no fear in that environment, right? Because Jesus takes away fear. Listen to this. He restores my soul. Think about that for a second. How many times do we need soul restoration? This world is good at depleting our soul. When we lose our loved ones, dealing with our finances, dealing with major decisions, dealing with our children, dealing with aging parents, dealing with whatever, you fill in the blank, whether it be a mental illness or depression or whatever else is going on in our life, our soul gets depleted. But He restores our soul. He restores our soul, and restoring our soul, He chases away fear and doubt, and He brings us and keeps us in the faith. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Wow, paths of righteousness, perfection. I'm not perfect. I know that's hard to believe. My wife hasn't gotten that concept yet that I'm not perfect. I doubt you're perfect, but He leads us in perfection. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now think about that for a second. First of all, the shepherd would carry a rod or a staff, right? Why do you think he carried a rod or a staff? What did he do that with? Did he use it just to walk? No, what would he do? He would beat off the wolves. He would use it to protect. And so when we see that rod and that staff that Jesus carries, it brings us comfort. It brings us comfort because we know He's beaten away Satan. He's beating away death. He's beating away sin from our lives so that fear won't enter. Now let's talk about this for a second. Fear is the opposite of love, right? God is love. God's love casts out all fear, right? So fear is the opposite of love. So in the presence of Jesus' love, we see that staff, we see that rod that He carries, and we know that He's protecting us from sin, death, and the devil. But not only that, He's protecting us today as well. You know, for so many years, people read this psalm, and they say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. And what they thought is, well, when it's time to die, I won't be afraid. But that's not what it's talking about. There was actually a valley outside of Israel called the valley of the shadow of death. And it was called that because it was a dangerous place to walk through. Rocks would fall, you would have rock slides, you could fall, you'd slide down the hill. There were wolves that were out to get you and snakes and all kinds of things. It wasn't a safe place to be. When Jesus says, even though I walk through the valley of the David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's talking about our life today. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death every moment of every day. Think about it for a second. Is there one person in here who can truly raise their hand and say, I have had an easy life, a perfect life? Nobody. Nobody can raise their hand, can they? Can anybody right now say, life is grand, I don't have anything worrying me or whatever? No, because that's what life is. It's filled with worries. It's filled with doubts. And sometimes we even doubt Jesus. I tell you what, I've been praying for something earnestly for a couple of weeks, and it isn't happening. And I'm beginning to doubt God is hearing me, although I know He is. But as a pastor, I still have doubts too. And yes, I admit that to you. I'm like, are you hearing me, God? Are you really there? Open your ears. Listen to me. You see that? We walk through that every day. We walk through that as we struggle with our past and the hurts of our past. We walk through it as we struggle with the trials and tribulations of today and the hurts of today. We walk through it tomorrow as we'll struggle with whatever tomorrow brings. Whatever next week, whether it's like I said, the death of a loved one, finances, we could go through it all. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death every day. But confidently, David says, even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, where I can slip off the mountain or be hit by a rock or be crushed instantly, I will fear no evil because you are with me. The shepherd is with us. The very same shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep in our gospel lesson. He laid down his life for the sheep. The wolf, the ultimate enemy, was coming. He was coming to destroy you and destroy me. His name was Satan. He was going to destroy us and bring us to hell to be with him forever. And Jesus said, no, you can't do that. And in order to make sure you cannot do that, I will lay down my life and die for my sheep so that they will be perfect, so that they will be forgiven, so that they will be with me forever. And oh, by the way, Satan, I'm going to rise up from the dead, and in rising up from the dead, now you have absolutely no power over them because I have crushed your death forever. Because I live, my sheep will live, and they do not have to be afraid of this world. They do not have to worry. They do not have to doubt. They do not have to go through this life so bogged down by whatever it is that enters them, their lives. Whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever fear, whatever doubt, whatever chaos, whatever mental illness, whatever depression, whatever it is that you're struggling with in your life right now, give it to Jesus. He is there. He is there with his staff to knock it in the head and to give you victory over sin, death, and the devil as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You will not fear. The job of the shepherd is to feed and nourish the sheep. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. In the presence of our enemies, whether that be Satan or whoever else it is attacking us, Jesus feeds us, he nourishes us, he prepares a beautiful table. And today we get to be called to that table, don't we? The table of the Lord's Supper. The table where we receive the body and blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. To feed upon him, to be nourished and strengthened, to go out into the world, to carry the gospel message, that message of the good shepherd who laid down his life only to take it up again so that we will live for eternity. That's the message we declare. Now let me tell you the reason Jesus feeds and nourishes us. By the way, he does that in his word too, right? Every time we read the word in our personal devotions, our personal Bible studies, and we hear it in church, he is feeding and nourishing us. There's one reason that Jesus does that. Because a shepherd is to grow the flock. And what did Jesus say to his disciples before he ascended into heaven? We'll be celebrating ascension very soon. Go and make disciples of So he feeds us, he nourishes us, he forgives us, he strengthens us for the intent purpose that we will go out and grow his kingdom, that people will come to know Jesus wherever they are, that people, our friends, our family, our loved ones, our coworkers, our fellow students, wherever Jesus plants us, whether that's here, whether that's a foreign country, wherever that may be, whether that's at our home or with our neighbors, Jesus plants us where we need to be. Last week, I'm a nosy neighbor, and I heard some noise outside, so I looked, and across the street, there was an ambulance and a fire truck. And so I thought, boy, I don't know what's going on, so I watched. And then I went back inside, and I said to Stephanie, I feel this strong urging to go over and pray with them. I just said, go do it. So I did. And all these neighbors were gathered around because I'm not the only nosy neighbor. And we prayed for the person who's been taking on the ambulance. You see, it's not that hard to do. For that very moment, people were able to see Jesus. And that had an impact on them. An impact I won't know, and an impact I won't see. They didn't know I was pastor of Christ Lutheran Church. But it had an impact on them. An impact to grow the kingdom of God. Because that's why Jesus feeds and nourishes us. That's why, as his under-shepherd and the shepherd of this congregation, I feed and nourish and protect you so that we may grow God's kingdom together and grow Christ Lutheran Church to the glory of God the Father. The job of the shepherd is to bring peace, hope, and love to the sheep. The job of the shepherd is to bring peace, hope, and love to the sheep. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think about that for a second. How beautiful that is. Living by the green pastures with a babbling brook, the beautiful sun shining down upon us, our meal set before us that Jesus feeds us with, right? and mercy and goodness and love follow us. Because it belongs to us now and forever. Mercy. Mercy is what God withholds from us. He no longer punishes us. He does not give us what we deserve. Goodness, grace, what he gives to us that we don't deserve. Forgiveness and life eternal. And of course, his overwhelming love, an unconditional love that says to you and to me, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter your past, it doesn't matter your present, it doesn't matter your future, it doesn't matter what you've done or where you have been, I love you forever, now and always. Mercy and goodness and love will follow us forever until the day that we dwell in the house of the Lord forever, in the mansion he prepared for you and for me. So when we celebrate Easter, it's so much more than just looking forward to the day that we die and going to heaven, because it's about right now. The risen Jesus walks with you. He holds you. He comforts you. He smiles when you smile. He laughs when you laugh. He cries when you cry, because he is your shepherd. And you have nothing to fear, because it's gone. In the name of Jesus, amen. Christ is risen.